This chapter 21 of John also has sort of three sections. We have this miraculous draught of fishes and Jesus providing the meal. Then we have the reinstatement of Peter. And then finally, we have the calling of Peter, you know, follow me. When you're young, you dress yourself. When you get older, somebody else will gird you and take you where you would not want to go, namely to the cross, the physical cross. And you remember he saw John. Well, what about him? And Jesus said, look, if I wanted him to stay here till I come back, what is it to you? You follow me. And so we have this very mysterious chapter. So mysterious and in some ways different that many commentators say, oh, this is an addition by somebody else. But it's not. But we have to grapple with it because it's hard to understand. What's this? The part we have today, which only is the first 14 verses, what do you get out of it? You know? What do you want to see? Well, let's start. Remember, this is a mysterious chapter, and we need the light of the Holy Spirit to open it up for us. First, we said, John tells us, he revealed himself again, and I'm going to tell you about it. Simon Peter, Thomas the twin, the doubter, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others. So there they were up in the north where Jesus had told them to go, right? Go back up to Galilee, and there you will see me. And so they're back up there, though they had seen him already in Jerusalem. This introduces this mysterious, sorry it has to be so mysterious, but the scriptures imply that Jesus was around in a particular way for 40 days. Then he ascended. And 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came. And the church was born, established, and still here. So what's going on here? Simon Peter says, I am going fishing. Well, okay. Is that because that was his profession or because he didn't know what else to do or whatever? But they all said, we'll go with you. So they all get into the boat. I don't think, if you've ever seen those boats, they're about as long as from the wall to the chairs. They dug one up a few years ago. They found it at the bottom of the lake of Galilee, immersed in the mud and therefore preserved from rotting. And there it is for all to see. The boats just like they used in those days, which is nice always. Then you can envisage them all trying to get in this boat. When it was already dawn, they caught nothing. Jesus was standing on the shore, but his disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, lads, really, have you caught anything to eat? No. It's pretty embarrassing for guys, for this is their profession, right? No. A whole bunch of us never caught a thing the whole night. Now, you see this, the way they fished over there, these boats, and they had this net, and they would drop it off the stern, and then they would row in increasingly dense concentric circles. And the net being dragged by the back of the boat would pick up all the fish. And they'd bring it in and pull the net ashore, you know. But they could tell when there was nothing in it. And so we'll try again, and nothing happened. Cast the net over to the right side of the boat and you'll find something. So they cast it. And they were not able to pull it in because of the number of the fish. Now he's done this before, hasn't he? Remember? Luke tells us of an event very similar. And Peter got it and said, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinner. Remember that? Okay. This time, they're still in the boat. Jesus is on the shore. And John, who's very perceptive, says, "That's the Lord. That's the Lord." So Peter, hearing that it was the Lord, jumped into the water. It got there to see the Lord. Now, you say, well, that's Peter. That's Peter, all right. But who is standing up in front of everybody and proclaiming, no matter what the police say, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that it was in the power of Jesus that this man was healed? Peter. He might be a little over-enthusiastic once in a while, but now with the Holy Spirit, he's got guts. And he's ready to proclaim Christ anywhere. And he's the leader. You remember we just heard that. All of the people of Israel should know, and so should you, that it was in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name, this man stands before you healed. And there's nothing I can do for you, fellas. You're going to have to accept it or not. He's here. And you know who he is. He was at the beautiful gate every day for years. You know who he is. And you see him walking around like this. I'm telling you why. Try to give me a better explanation. So that's the Peter who also jumps into the water to go see Jesus. He's lovable, isn't he? I mean, a little bit excited, but lovable. The other disciples came in the boat and they brought in the net, and then Jesus had already built a fire. Now it's this point that this mysterious availability, unavailability of Jesus during these 40 days is so remarkable. He continues it like Margaret Mary Alacoque, Faustina. Well, Jacinta too. It's that same mysterious, ungraspable presence of the Son of God, body, soul, spirit, divinity, there. And it's a mystery. Now, we shouldn't be too amazed. We receive his body and blood every day. It's just as real in another form, but it's just as real. He's with us. He loves us. If it would help us to get to know him better for us to go catch 153 fish, we would. He's done more than that for us. Okay. So Jesus said, get some of the fish. And Peter goes over there, drags this net ashore, 153 large fish. I wish I had a nickel for everybody who's tried to figure out why John stops to tell us there's 153 fish. Now, in this world, they do this all the time with numbers. It's not strange. But there's so many possibilities. And we just don't know. It's like John, and his number is 666, you know? What does that mean? We're too dumb. Okay. So what's the conclusion? Look at the mercy and the love and the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. If he were to come here right now, you know, and show us his body, radiant and glorious, we'd all probably fall down and I don't know what we'd do. But he would stick around a little while and say, "Don't. Yes, of course I'm God. Now come, talk to me. Let me help you. Let me strengthen you. Let me be with you. I love you. I want to bring you to my Father's throne, escort you personally to his throne the day you die. So let's get ready. But he does do that. That's just what this Eucharist is all about.